In early July, I visited my mother-in-law in Port Wing, Wisconsin, the morning after the pastures near her house had been mowed. If you're a farmer, July is a convenient time to hay a field after crops are in and before most things are ready to be harvested. But if you're a ground-nesting bird, July is a horrifying time to hay a field. I've known this for a long time, but I never realized that ravens had it all figured out, too. A pair of them were walking in the tracks where the tractor had been, scrutinizing the ground. Every now and then, one would lean down and pull up a mangled baby bird and devour it. Considering how many savannah sparrows and bobolinks nest in that field, it didn't surprise me that the ravens were finding a lot of food. There used to be upland sandpipers and meadowlarks there as well, but they've been gone for a few years. July haying is probably not the only thing that did them in, but grassland birds have so very many pressures on them that even small problems can have a huge effect, in the way that a patient with AIDS can succumb to what would in a healthy person be a minor infection. I don't like thinking about all those dead baby birds, all the devotion and work their parents put into building the nests, laying and incubating the eggs, and feeding them. Some of the bodies the ravens were devouring looked fairly large, as if the bobolinks were close to fledging. And I wondered if any babies out there had somehow miraculously escaped harm. It brought to mind Robert Frost's wonderful poem, The Exposed Nest. You were forever finding some new play. So when I saw you down on hands and knees in the meadow, busy with the new-cut hay, trying, I thought, to set it up on end, I went to show you how to make it stay, if that was your idea, against the breeze, and if you asked me, even help pretend to make it root again and grow afresh. But 'twas no make-believe with you today, nor was the grass itself your real concern, though I found your hand full of wilted fern, steel-bright June grass, and blackening heads of clover. 'Twas a nest full of young birds on the ground the cutter bar had just gone champing over, miraculously without tasting flesh, and left defenseless to the heat and light. You wanted to restore them to their right of something interposed between their sight and too much world at once, could means be found. The way the nestful, every time we stirred, stood up to us as to a mother bird whose coming home has been too long deferred, made me ask would the mother bird return and care for them in such a change of scene, and might our meddling make her more afraid? That was a thing we could not wait to learn. We saw the risk we took in doing good, but dared not spare to do the best we could, though harm should come of it. So built the screen you had begun, and gave them back their shade. All this to prove we cared. Why is there then no more to tell? We turned to other things. I haven't any memory, have you, of ever coming to the place again to see if the birds lived the first night through, and so, at last, to learn to use their wings. That was Robert Frost, and I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.